Cut your music off. We about to talk for a minute. Welcome to this podcast, My First Case. Me and the homie Keish about to bring y'all a little real talk. So cut that music off. Put all that other stuff down and just tune in. Keish, what up?
What's up, dude? You such a hot boy. I thought you were fabulous and great for this. You are. You said earlier that your name has legendary status. Rob Pimpton. My sister's like, Rob Pimpton, you say that like he's a star. I said, you know what? He is a star. He's a star of Cleveland. Legendary status. So, Rob, tell me and our audience why a legendary status in the city of Cleveland.
When I said I was legendary
define
status,
it,
I was kidding, but I'm a very humble person, but legendary status is just a person who's paved the way for people to come behind you and for people to look up to you, you know what I'm saying, in some type of light. You know what I'm saying? It means, you know, your name is your name. You know, I don't have no bad papers on my name, so, and I did a lot for my hood. So, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't always the financial things, but I did some good things, and I try to still continue to do them things, you know what I'm saying? Whether if I held my own on the basketball court, in the swimming pool, on the football
POC.
Field. POC, no
absolutely.
Doubt. You know, we down the way, baby. You know, so if I held my own, you know what I'm saying, on the fashion, if I was a trendsetter on the fashion, or if I was a trendsetter on automobiles or speakers, you know what I'm saying? You know, and these are things we try to do in the hood. We try to beat each other at. You know, we was trying to, you know, be the first at doing things, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying I'm legendary status as in toot my own horn, because I'm a very humble individual. That's why I'm doing this, because everything I'm doing is try to give back to the hood. But we coming to you with positivity. We're not bringing, you know, we from down the way, but we trying to save our youth. You know, my passion is at-risk youth. Keisha has a passion, which you'll all learn about our passion, you know what I'm saying? So she gonna probably give, she wants to interview me today and, you know, break down a little bit of my history. And I didn't know it was coming this fast. But, you know, that's how we doing it. You know, we on the rapid. Just like RTA, we on the rapid. So we going to do this real fast. And we going to try to, you know what I'm saying, just get y'all to it in the authentic, purest form. You know what I'm saying? This is my first case, you know. So me being a case court guy, she repping the compound. You know, we going to bring our trials, tribulations, and just try to, you know what I'm saying, enlighten on and bring our passion and just try to get some help with saving these kids out here with all that's going on. You know what I'm saying? I'm still super enthused that she brought to me this Cleveland First thing. You know what I'm saying?
Say yes to Cleveland.
Say yes to Cleveland. I'm sorry. I didn't have one too many. But yeah, just say yes to Cleveland. We just did a little half an episode on the Say Yes to Cleveland, so we probably tied both of those in, but she wanted to come back on the mic and get her interview out the way. So I'm ready for you.
I wouldn't say out the way. I would say my feature, because as I mentioned to you before, yeah, you can have a college degree. You can say you're an expert in whatever the field that you're an expert in. But from my perspective, you have a doctorate in the system. I cannot and can never understand that, as most people who are listening to this podcast may not be able to understand. However, there are things that you know and that you've experienced through interacting with the system that I think is important and imperative for our audience to hear. So, with that being said, Rob, can you tell me how you caught your first case?
Oh, wow. So, it's real. Ooh, it's ironic that we started this off with legendary status, because, as I said, we look up to people, you know what I'm saying? And in the hood, our eyes don't see past the hood. We don't look at politicians, or some of us might look at sports icons or stuff like that. But when we wake up, we see the dude on the corner with the knot, or, you know, the dude closest to us who's getting it, who's helping our family eat, you know, or sending guys to the store. You know, we're in the hood. So I looked up to a certain, you know, someone, dope boy, you know, dope guy, you know, everybody know him. So, you know, statute of limitations, he already, you know, giving him his fair share of time as we speak. So, without saying his name, you know, I was doing my little thing, sneaking, hustling, because, you know what I'm saying, when I would come home from Alfred A. Bennett or stop at POC, you know what I'm saying, I would see them out there shooting dice, brand new J's. You know, sometimes you got one on white, one on black, just to do it like that. You know, and I don't, you know, I'm a kid, but I loved it, Michael Jordan's, you know what I'm saying, and they was doing it effortless, you know what I'm saying, they shooting dice, money all on the ground. You know, I'm a kid, I'm looking at this like, I don't know. So I started, you know what I'm saying, dippling and dabbling in the dope game, crack cocaine, you know what I'm saying? It was big. It was around 91, 92 maybe. You know what I'm saying? It's a juvenile case. My first case was a juvenile case.
How old were you?
I can't remember. I'm going to say 15, 16. Mm-hmm. And I kind of had a co-defendant. I kind of didn't have a co-defendant. But we both went down on that same day. So, you know what I'm saying? A lot of that, that's a different story. But, I was with my kid Cole, he know. So, the homie, the big homie.
Who's the real big legend, homie?
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you didn't want to tell I'm talking about.
That's Sean Fierce. Everybody know it's Sean Fierce. Wow. So,
I remember him.
The iconic, the one and only down the way legend, Sean Fierce. So, when I caught my first case, you know what I'm saying? Sean Fierce just came down with the, if anybody know, the drop top blazer.
Ooh.
Yeah, he bought it from L.A. First convertible blazer. This one, Dayton's, you know, probably one of the first sets of Dayton's. You know what I'm saying? It was on a Tuesday. And me knowing that, you know what I'm saying, Tuesdays and Thursdays, we all know what we're supposed to do. If you're from the hood, you're supposed to be extra careful. But I had the sack on me. I had, you know what I'm saying? I got caught with the rocks.
Hold on, Rob. I've never heard of Tuesday and Thursday. Can you explain the significance of those days?
Okay, if you come from, you know, what we did or what we did is routine. So Tuesdays and Thursdays was sweep days. That's when the vice came through.
Oh, wow.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, they were regularly, they were going to come through on Tuesdays and Thursdays, especially at the first of the month where you couldn't turn down your hustle because that's when all the money was coming. That's the, that first through, anybody know first through 15, those are the biggest days.
First and 15th, is that when everybody, like, in the hood, like, the customers, quote-unquote, would get their money, their...
Yeah, their SSI, their welfare,
okay,
their food stamps, and, you know, a lot of them typically bought drugs. And so it was hot, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, in a low-income community, you know, we don't have a lot of jobs, so a lot of people rely on assistance. So... Mm-hmm. When the assistance came out, you know what I'm saying, we took advantage of that. Still to this day, whoever's doing their thing, they still do. The first of the month, Bone made it, you know, cash your checks and come on.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so I don't know. It might have been. It probably was at the first of the month. It was on a Tuesday because I had a whole lot of them on me. I got caught. My first case, I got caught with 44 rocks, but I'm going to double back.
44?
Yeah, I had.
Wow.
I got caught with 44 rocks. In my Fruit of Malone underwear, and back at these times,
and the box.
And you know, they was the tidy whities, but I wore boxers over top of them because, all right, if y'all don't know, we wore tidy whities to tuck the rocks in the tidy whitey pouch under your ball. So if you didn't get a full pat down, you was getting away. You know,
I never knew that.
Yeah, so you know, we kept it. That's where we kept the rocks at back in the day. So. So, all right, so, you know, we strolling, you know what I'm saying? It's on the block, you know what I'm saying? And everybody's seeing it, but they acting like they not seeing this hard-ass drop-top blazer. This one, blazers was hot. I'm talking about convertible. This was done in. It had a California paint job, California interior, speakers all around. So, I took it upon myself to pull up because Sean was my dude. First dude to let me ride a scooter. Yeah, I wore hand-me-downs because they were gently worn from Sean Fierce, Guess Jeans. You know, so I didn't
Guess
really...
Was,
yeah, Guess yeah, Jeans. Guess he looked out that? For me. He was a skinny dude, so he was dropping them 29s and 30s off. He'll wear them twice and hit the kid up. So I love this dude. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking in the blazer. He found me. You know, I'm looking. I'm checking it out. You know, like... I was mesmerized, but I wasn't on my thing because you ever heard anybody know you hear those engines roaring. I'm looking in this blazer. That's Tuesday and Thursday. Here they come. Mm-hmm. They swoop down on me and my bruh. Throw a pat down, you know what I'm saying? And that's my first case, you know what I'm saying? What, 44 rocks or four, whatever, it was a lot. You know what I'm saying? I ended up getting probation for it. You know what I'm saying? It was my first case. I was still in school. You know what I'm saying? Anybody know me, I've always been a student of everything I did. A student of basketball game, student of the dope game, student of the game, period.
Absolutely.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, me still having good grades in school and all that, it kind of played a good part, but I got probation. And that was my first case. And it was, you know, even my last case, I felt like a fish out of water in jail, you know what I'm saying? Because, well, let me say this. First of all, too much of anything will make you an addict. As for hustling, using drugs, alcoholism, anything, too much of anything will make you an addict. So, with that being said, I was addicted to the lifestyle. So a slap on the wrist really didn't do nothing for me as a juvenile. It really didn't do nothing for me as a juvenile. So, for, you know, I got put on house arrest and,
okay,
you know, within a week or two, my mental was eradicated from where I had been, that I was just in prison or in the juvenile system because I was back out. Mm-hmm. I was seeing, like, my dudes, oh, they still, he done came up a little more. He got a new car. Oh, these Jordan 5s done came out. Herringbones are, you know what I'm saying? Herringbones are getting thicker. So it's like, you know, you lose focus of what's at stake. What's at stake? You lose focus, like, damn, they can take all the herringbones, the Sterlings, the deep dense rims away from you. You lose focus of where you were. You know what I'm saying? When you went there, you was like, damn, I miss that stuff. I miss that shit. You know what I'm saying? I miss riding around listening to Kenny G. You know what I'm saying? Bumping the 415s, 412s. You know, when you in there, you miss it. You miss it. So when you get back in out there, it's like, boom. But to answer your question, that time was so far apart that from the 15-year bit, you know what I'm saying? I caught that as an adult. So I had a lot of time to mature. I had other cases. But these were all slap on the wrist cases. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Where I lose focus again. Like, where, like, okay, I did the little juvenile time. Then I got a few, I got maybe 9 months. But then 9 months, I'll chill for a minute. And then I'm back at it.
So you felt like it was kind of like social conditioning?
I don't understand what you mean by
social conditioning is basically when you... Like conditioning of anything, you get introduced to something and initially it's a shock, but then as time progresses, you have that experience again, but the second time it's not really, obviously not a shock because you've experienced it. Mm-hmm. So it kind of becomes a little bit of kind of like sort of your norm, but then again, the next time, the third time or the fourth time is almost like expected.
It is.
Because you've experienced it. So you like graduate
it
from
is.
One part, one piece, that initial shock to it slowly and surely becoming kind of like, I don't want to say a second nature.
It is.
Because I'm sure like
hustling,
when you became an adult, it's like, oh, wow. But still, you had already had that experience and that introduction to the system, whereas it's like, okay, I've been there. I done that. In an adult system, it's a whole different ball game because you just see it as a smack on the wrist.
It's the time. I mean, the thing about it is what you're accustomed to when you're free and your livelihood. you know, like you said, we're going to talk about all this in the future. We're going to talk about college degrees. We're going to talk about the nature of how the community does you. So, like I said, too much of anything does make you an addict. So I was addicted to hustling because I had a nature, I had a lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so once I'm released from prison, it wasn't like, you know, that's why it's a revolving door. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because everyone, you know what I'm saying, has a fault. You know what I'm saying? If they're addicted to drugs, or if they're addicted to stealing cars, or if they're, you know what I'm saying, too
materialism.
You know what I'm saying? You have shoplift, you have everything. Mm-hmm. But, you know what I'm saying, we're going to talk about that like we talked about that movie. We're going to come back to that, the 13th, you know what I'm saying? But I can't correlate my first case to my last case. Mm-hmm. I just can't. But I learned so much on my last case because of how much time I did.
Okay. But do you see, or was there a relationship between your first case and your last case?
Not at all.
Really?
Not at all.
But because your first case introduced you to the system. Would you not agree with that?
It did.
Although it was a juvenile system, and it introduced you to the system. So by the time you caught your last case, you had a little bit of understanding of the system.
I got railroaded.
So there was a relationship.
It was a relationship, but I'm glad you said that because I never even looked at it like that. You know what I'm saying? And that's why, you know what I'm saying? But I never looked at it like that. And my first case was from one addiction. My last case was from another addiction.
Being
drugs. You know what I'm saying? I was overdoing it. Yeah, I was overdoing it. I mean, the first was selling. I'll say the last was using.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this is what the streets do to you. You know what I'm saying? You come from a lifestyle, and then you know what I'm saying?
Do you want to disclose what you were using? Or
People know. If I have an authentic core, they know. My loved ones know.
Okay, moving forward, what happened with this last case?
I end up getting railroaded. I was looking at, you know, I had a situation where, an altercation where I hit someone. Well, somebody, I was enraged. Someone tried to subdue me with the bat, and I took the bat from them and, you know, reversed it on them.
We're talking about a literal bat?
A baseball bat, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, someone tried to subdue me for my actions. I was a little irate, you know what I'm saying, due to my mental state. A lot of was going on in my life, a lot was going on in my mind. So due to my mental state, I wasn't myself.
Okay.
So they seen that, but I was also in an altercation at the time, and he was trying to bring the altercation to a halt. Mm-hmm. And he came out with a bat, and me protecting myself, I took the bat, and he, you know. But, you know, at the end of the day, I was supposed to get lesser time, maybe. 4 years was the agreement with my lawyer. And I ended up getting all my time ran concurrent, and I end up with a 15-year sentence.
Okay.
Where's the Ciroc?
So you got that 15-year sentence.
Yes, I did. Where the Ciroc?
Where did you do your time at?
Multiple places. I did a little time in Lorain Correctional. You know, that's where they started you off. I did a little time in Mansfield. But I did the burn of my time in Trumbull Correctional.
Trumbull?
Yeah, Trumbull.
How many years?
I did probably 13 of those years in Trumbull Correctional. Yep.
Okay. So, Trumbull Correctional. Well, let's go back to the beginning. You said you start off in Lorain Correctional. Everybody starts off in here?
Yeah, everybody starts off in Lorain Correctional. If y'all been in prisons, you know. And it is big business. Dude was at work, you know what I'm saying? He was like, Michael Jordan investing in prisons. I'm like, you know, it's smart. Why wouldn't he? It's a revolving
Michael
door.
Jordan.
It's a revolving door.
Oh, Michael Jordan, you talking about actual Michael Jordan?
Yes,
the basketball
player? He invests in prisons. They says he's due to open a couple, or he might even own a couple, or he's part owners in a couple. Because the thing about it is, what we talked about, Keish, we talked about the recidivism rate.
Absolutely.
You know, I know we was interviewing me, but, you know, I'm a statistic, and I was a statistic then, because we talked about the recidivism rate of black men re-entering. Your passion is re-entry. My thing is, I have re-entered, and I'm trying not to re-enter, you know. So the recidivism rate is very high. I want to say, for every black man, I gave it to you last time, I'm going to say...
It's 76.6%.
That's the number I gave you.
That's the current rate.
And within 3 years. So I've been home from...
It's a 5 year. Just so you know.
It's three, but okay.
Okay, I'll take three. I'm looking it up, though.
Oh, it's five? It's 5 years? They return in 5 years?
Yes, within 5 years.
Is that black men or that's that man, period?
This is just men, period.
Look up black men.
I will do. I got you.
African American.
Keep talking.
Okay, so.
So we were talking about Lorraine Correctional.
Yeah, so, but it's a revolving door, you know what I'm saying? So anybody who been there, they know the same guards, there's, you know, buttholes. They know which pods are going to get the better treatment. They know which pods, you know, everybody know the ins and outs. You know what I'm saying? I want to go to this pod because they got more females over there working. Or this pod, you know, if you're still addicted to drugs, that's a med pod. You know, this is the stuff you learn as a criminal and in the system. You know, it's a lot to it. But did you find that statistic?
Give me a second. I'm still looking. But in the meantime, can you tell me what was... your lowest point when you were incarcerated?
Oh, my lowest?
Yes, an incident, a mental state, okay, an experience.
Getting the time, I'm gonna give you a few because this really shouldn't, like, this ain't never been told to people that I really fuck with. So for this to be on an actual podcast or getting recorded, I'm at a vulnerable state, and you know, if anything was to happen to me, I'm good as recorded. So my lowest probably was, you know what I'm saying, I was in the county, you know, my heart, you know, I was in a relationship, you know what I'm saying. Well, probably not my lowest. All right, I'm going to start off at the top. My worst fear was losing my mother in jail while I was in prison. That was my worst fear. Okay. So I was good. I came home to have my mother still living, and she's still living to this day. Thank the Lord. You know what I'm saying? But that was my biggest fear. Like, I didn't know how I would react to that. Mm-hmm. Probably one of my lows. You know what I'm saying? My girl who I was fucking with, you know what I'm saying, before I left, you know what I'm saying, she ended up dropping a couple seeds, you know what I'm saying, having a couple kids. Which, you know what I'm saying, is expected, because, you know, I don't expect her life to stop. But, you know, when you go to prison, you kind of still be in love with, or who you love with when you ended, when you left.
Okay.
As if their life moving on, but your life, like you said, you asked a question, like, you was like, Rob, I'm proud of you because you didn't stand still. But in a way, you know what I'm saying, we stand still. You know what I'm saying? I still loved her for 10 years later after she still had two kids on me. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, not on me, but I'm doing a 15-year bid. So, but you know what I'm saying. But the thing about it is, what prison does, it's meant to stagnate you mentally, physically, and everything else. So a lot of guys just beat the system by not getting stagnated physically, working out. But at the end of the day, when you talk to them, they're stagnated mentally. They want to still go ride this or still try this. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. When you're doing 1 year, you can stagnate me for a year and I'll go get back to it. But doing large numbers, 10, 20 years, mm-hmm. I get time to think. Like, y'all took, like, I can't keep missing. I can't miss another day, you know? When right. People be like, say, like, damn, Rob, you hanging out, you know? Like, I'm enjoying my life.
Yes.
It's not like I'm trying to get it all back. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to do stuff for the hood, stuff for the young ones, stuff for my family. You know what I'm saying? I'm not just trying to get it back at the bar or the club. If you see me out unwinding like that, that don't mean that's the end all to my existence, or, you know what I'm saying? So don't pigeonhole me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not to be pigeonholed because, you know what I'm saying, you don't know me. Perfect.